人生是一本书，每一段时光都是一段难忘的故事。
就让我们在此刻分享我们的故事。欢迎收听西雅图中文广播美国故事栏目。
亲爱的听众朋友们，晚上好，欢迎收听西雅图中文电台美国故事栏目，我是小袁。最近呢，大家非常关心，就是华盛顿州出现了首例的那个冠状病毒的患者，然后呢，在2020年1月21日，华盛顿州举行了一个记者招待会。那么这场记者招待会呢，它的规格非常的高，因为州长亲自出席。那么参加记者招待会的除了州长之外呢，还有卫生部长是江威斯曼，还有州里面的就是负责免疫的就是一个博士，他是叫 Scott Lindquist。 还有 Snohomish 卫生部的一个就是领导啊，叫 Chris Spitters。 然后还有Everett 的医院，就是 Providence Regional Medical Center 的那个主任医师叫 Jay Cook。 还有那个美国，就是全美国就是疾病与防治那个中心的一个博士叫 Nancy Messini 啊，他们都在这个记者招待会上发表了就是最新这个疫情的一个介绍，也现场回答了那个记者的问题。那么现在呢，首先我因为这个武汉的这个新型的冠状病毒这件事情就非常的重大，因为在中国已经出现了500多例的就是患者，然后还有17人死亡目前，而且它这个传播的非常的快。武汉呢也现在基本上是封城了，就是飞机啊火车都不能都停飞了，所以也武汉的人都不能出来啊。那么既然这么一个首例的患者来到了西雅图地区，虽然他是在 Snohomish 的那个 Everett 城市，而且呢他被隔离了，广大的我们华人的听众朋友都是非常关心，就是对这个事件会怎么发生，然后对大家的生活有什么样的影响。所以首先呢，我们播放2020年1月21日就是华盛顿州卫生部举办的这么一个记者招待会的实况录音。那么这个录音呢是英文的，在录音之后呢，我们再继续介绍一下就是最新的这个美国首例，也发生在西雅图地区的美国首例新型冠状病毒这个病例的一些情况。欢迎大家收听。
The public regarding the novel coronavirus that has recently been identified in a Washington State resident. I'll give you some just basic information about the situation, and we have a host of scientific and medical personnel that will talk about our multi-tiered response to this particular concern. Just specific dates from November to January 15th, we had a Washington State resident, a man in his 30s, who was in Wuhan, China. On January 15th, he returned through SeaTac to his residence here in Washington State. He fell ill on January 16th and went to be evaluated for his condition on January 19th at his local clinician. At that time, it was suggested to him that he remain in isolation at home so he would not be a particular potentially a transmitter of any particular disease. He was then, on January 20th, samples were confirmed by the CDC in Atlanta that, in fact, he carried the novel coronavirus. And he was hospitalized, and we're very happy to say that he is in satisfactory condition. And as of this moment, is being... It's very helpful in us identifying particular people that he may have been in contact with. We think this has been a very rapid response. We want to express our appreciation to the CDC, for King County Health and our state health department We think that they have demonstrated a really good working relationship and having a multi-tiered, multi-level response to this particular concern. And so far, it has been extremely quick. From a Sunday designation of illness, and next day have identified, we're pleased for the ability of the scientists to be able to identify this particular disease. General, if I can just say at this moment, as Governor of the State of Washington, the good news is the CDC, and we also agree that the risk is low to residents of the state of Washington. And this is certainly not a moment for panic or high anxiety. It is a moment for vigilance. And we are pleased to report that we have a very comprehensive approach that is acting very quickly to respond to this, to identify the potential folks who may be subject to transmission, and also obviously care for the individual who's involved to date. If I just talk about this for a moment, the good news is our local and state health departments have been prepared for this for some time. They have drilled on a response in this regard. And the local Snohomish County Health Department has been working closely both with our State Department of Health and the National CDC in a response to this challenge. The approach that is now being taken, being in close contact with CDC, to try to prevent additional folks from coming who otherwise would not know about their infection capability from China. So what is happening is that the teams have employed a multi-leveled approach in that regard. We're pleased that the CDC has adopted a policy of essentially having only 5 airports in the United States who will receive visitors on direct flights from China or in linked flights from China. And those folks will be subject to a screening protocol that the CDC will be responsible for. So at SeaTac, there will not be folks visiting from China who will fly directly or even on a connected flight that do not go through those 5 airports. So the people who fly into the state of Washington in the immediate future will be needing to go through the 5 airports where they have some additional screening that the CDC will be responsible for. And we're confident in their abilities to work in that regard. As far as what Washingtonians should do or not do, I'm going to let John Weisman talk this about detail, but I think the important thing to know is that there isn't a risk level that would suggest people should be doing anything differently than they normally would. Like I said, this is not a moment of high anxiety. We should all do exactly what we always do, which is this is flu season, so we wash our hands, we cover our mouths when we sneeze, and when we are ill, we stay home from work so we don't expose other people to infection. We just think people should continue that. We do not believe this is something that should interfere with people's daily lives or even a position of anxiety in this regard. However, we take this very seriously, as we have in previous infection cases, where the protocols that we have adopted have been largely successful, and I'm pleased to see them acting very quickly today in that regard. And we will continue in that vein. So with that, I want to turn over to John Weisman, who is one of the players, and I should reiterate this. This is a team of multi-jurisdictions. I'm glad to see it operating, and we'll turn this over to John.
Okay. Team Novel Coronavirus. I first want to start by recognizing the quick collaborative work being done with our local and federal public health and healthcare partners. Over the holiday weekend, this group of people quickly identified a possible risk, coordinated the patient's care, sent samples to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta, and CDC tested them immediately. Now, together, we are implementing actions to ensure the public's health is protected. I'm thankful that the man who tested positive for this virus acted so quickly and sought treatment. His actions gave us a head start. And because of that, we were able to isolate him away from the public. As the governor said, all of this basically means our work, that this risk is low to the general public. Our first priority on Sunday when the patient sought treatment was to make sure that the patient got appropriate care and that samples were collected and sent to the CDC to determine if he was a case. During that time, we made sure that the patient was isolated from others. We activated our incident management team last night Our number one priority is to complete the identification of all the patient's contacts, reach out to the contacts, and monitor their health. We also want to make sure that we are communicating information about the situation with the media and the public. Late this morning, three of our colleagues from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention arrived to provide technical assistance and continue our close collaboration with the CDC experts in Atlanta and around the world. This is an excellent example of the collaboration and how the public health system needs to work together for the biosecurity of this country. I just want to reiterate what the governor said, which is at this point, folks should go around and do their normal business. And as he said, if you have a cough or sneezes, cover those. Stay home if you're ill. If you have not yet gotten your flu shot, do that. In part, that's just good health this time of year. But if somebody should have a disinfection, it helps us rule out other diseases of concern. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Scott Lindquist, who is our infectious disease epidemiologist, to give us some more information, and that will follow with other folks from the local health department and Providence and the Centers for Disease Control.
Scott. Say this to make sure every county is available and ready to evaluate patients that travel. So I know we talk a lot about airport screening, but that is only one piece of the system to really detect and take care of patients. So we have talked to every local health jurisdiction in the state. We sent them guidance based on the experience of Snohomish on how to isolate, test, and what's the appropriate action for these patients. So I'm feeling good about this because we have had experience with other viruses that have primed the system, and we have the infrastructure here to do this. So that is something that's already in place as we speak right now. Now, having said that, there had to be the first case somewhere. And sorry, Dr. Spitters, it was in Snohomish. But I gotta say, this couldn't have gone smoother. And I think Dr. Spitters can give us some experience, because there's a lot of details in this. This gentleman travels, who and how do you investigate who he was around? How do you even get him from his house to the hospital? What kind of conversation was the hospital? And what did you think when you got the phone call? I think those are all important things that we're working through for the rest of the country. So Dr. Spitters, you want to give some detail on your...
The Snohomish Health District. And just to give you, from the local perspective, our involvement in this, once we learned about the case and worked with the state health department and CDC last night, the Snohomish Health District coordinated with the Snohomish County Emergency Medical System to safely transport the affected patient to Providence Regional Medical Center in Everett, where he was admitted to the hospital. And following our jointly developed infectious disease protocols, we requested that Providence aid in isolating and monitoring the patient, which they've been most gracious and generous in doing. As stated earlier, our perception is that the risk to the general public in Snohomish County and beyond is low with respect to this particular exposure. We're working with Providence Medical Center to ensure that the small number of healthcare workers and patients who may have been exposed are identified and monitored for follow-up. As Scott, you said, nobody wants to be the first in the nation with these types of problems, but these are the types of situation that public health and its partners train and prepare for, and because of this collaboration, everything has been going quite smoothly. So on that note, on behalf of the Snohomish Health District, I'd like to thank CDC, the Washington State Department of Health, Providence Regional Medical Center, and all of our partners locally in Snohomish County who have been helping us in responding to this situation. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Cook from Providence Regional Medical Center.
Hey everybody, I'm Jay Cook. I'm the Chief Medical Officer of Providence Regional Medical Center in Everett. Just a few remarks here that have been covered by more eloquent speakers than I, but we at Providence Everett Medical Center are working closely with our colleagues at the CDC and the Washington Department of Health, as well as the Snohomish Health District, to care for a patient who tested positive over the weekend for the novel coronavirus. The patient is currently in satisfactory condition because the risk of human-to-human transmission is believed to be relatively low. but out of an abundance of caution, we have the patient being monitored in a special isolation unit at our campus. We anticipate that the patient will be monitored for at least 48 hours and can hopefully then be returned home and discharged from the hospital. We are contacting a small number of staff and patients who may have come in contact with the patient at one of our clinics. We're implementing a screening system in our electronic health records to identify patients at risk for this infection going forward. Again, I'd like to recognize the great collaboration and coordination and assistance we've had from all levels of this multi-layered response team, including the CDC, the State Department of Health, the Snohomish Health District, and our other local leaders. So with that, I would like to turn it over to Dr. Pillai, an official from the CDC, for his remarks. Thanks.
I wanted to thank and commend the State Health Department, local health district, the healthcare workers, and emergency medical service workers that have been working tirelessly, and we see the fruits of their labor. I'm glad that the individual that's currently in the care is doing well, and I think the strength of the public health system was really shown in the past 72 hours as the situation has evolved. As you heard, this is a novel, new viral infection, and we continue to learn more every day. As you heard, this is something that we consider to be at low risk to the public at large, but we want to be vigilant, and we are very appreciative of the opportunity to be here with you all to support the state, the local health department, the healthcare facilities, as you continue your investigation and as you continue your care for this individual. With that, I will stop and open the floor for questions. Thank you.
I'll take this grip.
The patient lives alone and or was traveling alone, and that might be reassuring if there's some.
Yes, this individual. The question was, does this individual live alone? And the answer to that is yes, he does live alone. He was traveling alone socially, but surrounded by others. And so that is part of the work that's being done to identify who those others in close proximity to him that would need follow-up education and monitoring. That's in process.
What can you say about why he was traveling to central China?
He was visiting his original home and is a permanent resident here now. He's coming back home.
Yes.
So I know there wasn't a direct flight. Do you know where the connecting flight was coming to CPAC?
It's not confirmed yet, but we know it wasn't a direct flight from Wuhan to CPAC.
Okay, so you don't know where the connecting flight was?
We're not confirmed yet.
Okay, and it took him, so he wasn't feeling symptoms when he landed here on the 15th, but is it possible that he could have exposed it to people on flights earlier than that?
Yeah, so we do know he was not symptomatic on the flight, but as was stated earlier, this is a new virus, so we don't know when you're truly infectious. Like some viruses, you can be infectious a couple days before you show symptoms. We don't know that yet, so this is part of learning a new virus. I mean, we've known about this for about a month and a half, so it's a great question. You'd make a great epidemiologist, but we just don't know those details yet.
To follow up on that, it sounds like
it. If you can, excuse me. Just talk about how the process is going to work to notify people in the podium and the mic. Please tell who's going to be doing what and how to go.
Right, so determining who was at risk of exposure is the first step. So is it 6 feet distance? Is it a flight? Is it when you're symptomatic? These are all details we're working out with CDC right now. So the Department of Global Migration and Quarantine will take care of the air flight here. Once he lands here, it's a state responsibility. So finding what his transport was from the airport to his home, talking and tracking down those folks who were at risk, and monitoring them for 14 days. We know it takes, once you're exposed, this we do know, it takes up to 14 days to develop symptoms.
So we'll,
Yeah, are there certain areas specifically in Snohomish County? Because you've got people living there and they're reaching out to us.
Yeah, so it's going to be CDC DGMQ for airport issues. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the state assisting Snohomish and their disease investigators that do this for a living. This is not the first time they've had to do something like this. And they will reach out to the patient and any deemed exposures in Snohomish County.
And then finally, there's some reports that Harborview Medical Center is handing out masks to people displaying symptoms. Is that?
That does not sound correct to me.
No, okay.
Is it a recommendation from the state or
CDC?
Okay. Can I add something to this, too, in Snohomish County? We understand how people would be concerned about something that's new, this is human, this is probably healthy. I just want to say there's nowhere in Snohomish County that I would be reluctant to take my new granddaughter or my family members. This is a low risk. It appears to have a transmission vector that really should not prevent anyone from going anywhere in Snohomish County except maybe the isolation ward at the hospital. So we want people to continue to enjoy Snohomish County. And we think they will.
Following up to that question, though, about areas, can you tell us what clinic?
And transparency with the public. You see in real time the information we're sharing with the public. And I think that's important to say because, unfortunately, we've seen some cases where people have suppressed science in our federal government. And we want to stand arm in arm with the CDC to continue to make good scientific health decisions. We believe if these folks have the ability to do that, they will do that. That's extremely important to work in partnership with them. We look forward to that.
What should people be looking for in terms of how do they know if they just have a common flu or if they have something, if they have the actual coronavirus?
Yeah, that's the trick to this, is because this novel coronavirus can look like the flu. It can look like a common cold. What's really in the case definition, which is a definition we use, you have to have exposure to the known site of transmission. So if you were to say, look, I was in the animal market in Wuhan, China a week ago, and now I have a runny nose and a bad cough, perfect. But just anyone who has cold and cough symptoms that has not traveled, at this point, it is not a good indication, nor we would consult with CDC, is this a person to test? And the answer would be no, because you don't have the epidemiologic risk factor. The other caveat is if you've been exposed to someone who has confirmed novel coronavirus.
Did this patient have a pre-existing condition that made them more susceptible to this, or were they perfectly healthy before this happened? And what symptoms did they show? Are you able to tell us that?
The symptoms were as described.
Thank you.
The symptoms in the individual affected were as described, fever and cough, and no known underlying medical conditions that were predisposed to a bad outcome.
We're relieved to hear that he's in satisfactory condition. Can any of you tell us how he's doing in terms of his spirits? Is there any information you can provide us in that regard?
I can tell you that he has been, he asked for a phone to call his family. He's resting comfortably and appears really clinically stable, obviously monitoring it very carefully because, as you've noted, there have been people who have died from this, but he's doing well so far.
Are his parents in China by chance, or?
I don't know that.
Okay, thank you.
And you're confident it's safe to send him home in 48 hours or whatever time frame, or do you have one?
I think that remains to be seen. I mean, I think that as we learn more about his particular case and about this virus in general, that will be a call that we'll definitely make in partnership with the Department of Health and CDC.
Not decided yet.
Correct.
How are the airlines and the government relating to people who are traveling and the disruption in their plans and having to rebook? Is this expense coming from families or is it compensation or how is that happening?
I certainly do not know the answer to that question, but I do know when you're dealing with a virus with some uncertainty associated with it, these are clearly the right decisions for our communities and our families. That will be worked out, I hope, to everybody's benefit, but our commitment needs to be to the general public, and we're exercising that today. We will, I know, continue to share information as it becomes available. I thank you, and be safe, and wash your hands.
This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
现在是美国西部时间晚上十点整，这里是西雅图中文电台。
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Chinese Radio Seattle.
声声有情。
1150 AM 西雅图中文电台，
这里是您的信息中心，
这里是您的心灵港湾，
这里是您的精神家园，
西雅图华人自己的中文电台。
朋友们也可以在网上收听我们的节目，收听网址是 ChineseRadioSeattle.com，
也可以通过智能手机下载 Chinese Radio Seattle 或者西雅图中文电台 APP 来收听我们的节目。
我们的高清调频频道是 FM 98.9 Channel 3，
我们的微信平台、新浪微博和 Facebook 账号都是 Chinese Radio Seattle。
热烈祝贺！
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 西雅图中文地带，
西雅图中文电台，
西雅图中文地带，
西雅图中文地带，
西雅图中文电台，
西雅图中文电台。
祝各位听众朋友新年快乐！
我跟爸爸感情不错，所以很了解他。爸爸一忙起来就会漏掉重要的事儿，像是回复2020年人口普查。身为他的乖女儿，但要提醒他，十年一次的普查就是要统计住在美国的每个人，然后根据这完整的数据来好好分配每年几千亿的公共资金，给社区里的学校、公园、图书馆、警察和消防局等。只需回答几个问题，就能大大影响我们华人社群。学校里有教2020年人口普查的目的，所以我不但很清楚，还要让爸爸也明白它的重要性。他其实也知道参与普查的好处，就是要人提醒。你我未来由此展开，详情请上2020census.gov。
本广告由美国人口普查局提供。
哇，1.85%，每年1.85%的收益，真的这么高？
是的，货币市场账户每年支付百分比收益率是1.85%，开账户只需要最低500美元。
我在哪里可以获得这么棒的利率？
通过 Sterling 银行和信托获得更多收益。我们现在 Bellevue 市中心的分行已经开业。
我赶紧去 Sterling Bank and Trust。
请致电4252786950，4252786950，了解更多详情。Sterling 银行和信托是 FDIC 的会员，提供平等住房贷款。
Influenza or other diseases, so that's probably what's being translated from Harvard View.
Okay.
That is a common practice to put a mask on a patient who has respiratory symptoms, not specific to this one.
How do you know that the risk of this spreading is low? It sounds pretty ominous with 6 deaths out of 300 known cases. And how many people have been contacted who may have been in contact with him since he got here and started exhibiting signs, symptoms?
I can perhaps take the first part of that question and then in terms of contact tracing, I'll turn it over to a local colleague. I think to your point, this is a new virus. We're still learning more. But having said that, there are ongoing dialogues with World Health Organization, the countries in which there have been cases, including China, the U.S. CDC, and thus far, the patterns of transmission have either been related to an initial market where individuals were first being identified as havingpotentially acquired infection, and then subsequent investigations that have looked at individuals that haven't had that market-related exposure, that haven't been sustained multiple generations of transmission. So again, there does seem to be some limited human-to-human transmission based on the data that we have today. This is a rapidly evolving situation. We will continue to learn more, but for now, based on the epidemiology that we've seen, we believe that this remains a low risk to this population as well.
Can you repeat your question again?
Sorry,
we skipped your
question. Thank you. In regards to what clinic did he originally visit for that first treatment, and can you mention any other specific spots he visited prior to isolation?
So we are working with the clinic that he visited to do a walkthrough and identify everywhere he was. And the clinicians involved with him, we know two definitely who have already been notified, but we're looking for other less obvious staff or patient contact. At this time, respectfully, we're not disclosing the name or the site of the clinic involved because we don't think that doing so would add to the strength of our work. But we are looking closely at that setting to make sure all staff and any patients who would have been exposed are identified, notified, and monitored.
Thank you. And you don't have any
other settings. You know, he did use a mode of transportation from the airport to home before he got sick, which was the next day. And other than that, we're still working with him on identifying any trips out of the household, and then we will follow those up as well.
What about his movement around the airport? I mean, I'm sure people wonder, should they be concerned just walking around the airport?
Well, I defer to you, Scott, I think, on that. You want to comment?
Yeah. I think this is exactly why we have the CDC here, to say, what constitutes a real risk? Understanding that there's not a lot of knowledge about this. We know there has not been a lot of airport transmission of this disease to date. So it isn't an emergent issue, but this is exactly why we had three CDC colleagues come. Think about that. They're here today. They just gave us the diagnosis yesterday. So I'm sure you guys are jet lagged. Sorry. And so that is one of the questions. It's a really good question about what constitutes an exposure. Does it constitute an exposure before you're even ill? And then how long should we monitor? So those things are all going to be worked out in the next day or two with the CDC, which, recognizing they may not even have the answers.
And Dr. Spitters, was that mode of transportation an Uber or a public mode of transportation, like a bus?
It was a real form of transportation. We're still working out who the actual company was, and then we'll identify the actual trip and notify the folks who were on that.
It was a group.
What can you say about where he was in China and what he was doing? Was he anywhere in addition to Wuhan?
I don't have any information beyond what you just stated. We've really been focusing on what's happened since he got back, so I can't tell you.
Just as a follow-up question, so do you guys have information on which airport he departed out of just prior to CTAC? Could you provide us with that information?
We don't have it confirmed. We've got some mixed message on where that is.
Want to go to Mike, sir?
So,
yes. Thank you.
So we have asked for his ticket so we can verify where did you come from Wuhan to where, how long was that layover, what did you do there, and then what airlines did you bring here? So that we have not got confirmed yet. We have yet to get the ticket from the guy, and so we're still working on it.
And are you guys recommending any additional steps at our airport, even though we know there's not screening at CTAC? Any additional steps folks should be taking?
So earlier today, CDC announced, and these plans have been in place even over the weekend, that there's going to be tunneling of individuals that are traveling from Wuhan or originated their trip from Wuhan to five U.S. Airports, LA, JFK, Chicago, Atlanta, and San Francisco. And that is, again, an additional step to help identify individuals that are coming from the area of current concern and perform additional screening as they come into that funneled five sets of airports.
Keep in mind that entry screening is part of a layered approach of interventions that are done to help reduce the risk of potential disease implication. But I believe Dr. Lincoln said, you know, it's a matter of time. We live in a globally interconnected world, and this is what we've done here is we were able to have astute clinicians who were able to follow public health messaging, ensure appropriate testing is done. So entry screening is one part of a larger public health enterprise. We want clinicians to know what to look for. We want the public, with your help, to know what are the signs and symptoms to look for, where, you know, there may be areas of risk. And then the other part is even airports that don't have active screening, there is messages occurring. So all of this is a interconnected puzzle, but entry screening is one component.
And it sounds like this spreads like cold and flu. Is that the case?
Think as if coronaviruses, which this is a new novel 2019 coronavirus, is in the family of viruses that are similar to the common cold. Respiratory symptoms predominate in the cases that have been identified and reported to date. Having said that, we're still early in this outbreak, and the full set of symptoms remains to be completely elusive.
At least I think the CDC's response in airports, at least in my mind, has been appropriate for protecting Washingtonians, because the airlines are going to funnel the traffic to these five airports, not CPAC, and that's an important point. That's going to pick up, I don't know.
举办婚礼、生日宴会，请到海景大酒楼。
大型晚会、团体宴席，请到海景大酒楼。
面向 Lake Union 的海景大酒楼提供自500人的宴会大厅，是各类庆典的最佳场所。
难忘今宵，尽在中国海景大酒楼。China Harbor 的电话是206-286-1688，206-286-1688。
哎呀，忘带钱包了，咖啡你来买可以吗？
当然可以啊。嘿、hey, 你听说了吗？我们2020年要加薪了。
没有啊，真的吗？
是啊，从1月1号开始，华盛顿州的最低工资标准将涨到每小时13.5美元了，农场工作也包括在内哦。拨打866-219-7321就可以向 Ellen 的 I 了解更多信息。
我现在就打电话866-219-7321。对了，下次我来买咖啡哦。
Crossings TV、Comcast 有线电视、Xfinity 152台。为西雅图华人观众送上豪华中文电视节目大餐，东方新闻、凤凰卫视新闻、非诚勿扰、一站到底、芝麻开门，每天还有精彩电视剧和更多资讯和娱乐节目，请记得收看 Crossings TV、Comcast 有线电视、Xfinity 152台。查询详细节目信息，请访问 www.crossingstv.com。
The point is to monitor yourself for symptoms, which you've done in there the last few weeks. So looking for fever or cough or respiratory issues, much like this patient did, monitor themselves, realize something was perhaps wrong, and call this healthcare provider. And that's the other thing we would want a traveler who's concerned is to call their healthcare provider first, tell them where you've traveled so that they can prepare appropriately for your arrival.So this is the monitoring of symptoms, much like what we will be asking and working with folks who might have had contact with this patient to do to monitor their symptoms. So that would be the other piece for travelers.
So did he, when he called his...
This lady's been waiting
for So what is the statistical modeling showing right now in terms of the actual number of cases around the world? Because there are different...projections out there right now. So curious about that. And I'll just a couple other questions. Is the genome deciphered at this point? And what are you finding there? What are you finding in terms of susceptibility to mutations that could make it more transmissible? And I just want to make sure I understood correctly. I think that you said there have not been multiple generations of transmission.How many have there been? And then one last question, just to get them all out there. Do you have concerns for any campaigns of disinformation? And what are you doing to prepare for that? Including, you know, foreign actors that could be involved in something like that.
So, thank you. I might miss some. So I'll start with the one that I can easily answer, sequencing. We do have sequencing available. China provided that. I believe it's been over a week now. The importance of that can't be understated. CDC scientists were able to use that sequence data to help develop the assay this past week, that within less than 24 hours, we were able to have a diagnosis for this individual. So the importance of having the genetic material was critical, and that test, now CDC scientists are working with FDA partners and other partners of the federal government to be able to make sure that we can get this test out into the state health departments in the coming weeks. It'll take a little bit of time. Until then, testing should come back to CDC Atlanta. And I think this is a really good case in point of the timeliness of testing to help inform clinical decision making. In terms of, I can't speak to campaigns of disinformation. What I can ask is that since you're here and you're hearing from the public health community of your state and CDC, that you're able to amplify some of these messages that you've heard today. The CDC website remains, I think, an authoritative site for up-to-date public health information. In terms of your first question, ma'am,
how many generations of transmission, and what's the current estimation of global number of cases?
So I don't want to speak to modeling. I don't have that data. I would defer to what is currently available on the WHO websites, what information may be on the CDC website that I just haven't seen today. In terms of modeling, as well as generations of cases, I think Dr. Linguist made a good point. This virus, this is something that has started...
亲爱的听众朋友们，刚刚我们听到的是2020年1月21日华盛顿州卫生局啊，应该是卫生部举行的记者招待会的实况录音。那么华盛顿州州长英斯利呢也参加了这一次记者会。他给大家吃了个定心丸，他就说现在大家不用焦虑，也不用恐慌，因为这一例虽然说，来自武汉的新型冠状病毒的这个病例，出现在美国，也出现在西雅图地区，但是对公众的危害比较小。我想呢，就是这个事情对。就是州长说这个话，基本上是可以负责任的，而且呢，我们公众是可以相信的。因为美国毕竟是，跟中国它这个整个的，不管是运行的机制啊，或者说医疗保障系统啊，都是完全不同的。那我们呢，就是在这个记者会之后呢，也请了两位嘉宾啊，就是一起来，探讨一下。这么一件事情啊，我们欢迎我们中文电台的雅秋老师，然后
各位听众朋友好，
也欢迎雨辰，也是我们中文电台那个星期三的那个音乐节目主持人，
大家好。
你们觉得那个州长在这么大一个事情，全世界都很瞩目，就是第一例这个死了这么多人的新型冠状病毒来到了美国，去来到西雅图，州长跟大家说，你们不要慌，一点事都没有，相当于是马照跑，舞照跳，你该干嘛就干嘛，这个是负责任的吗？还是大家可以放心的吗？
我觉得这个到目前为止，疫情并没有扩散的趋势，所以这个在此时此刻，我觉得是可以这么说啊，没有什么影响。但是如果说，不注意的话，当然有可能会扩散，这就要看我们每一个人还有政府的这些防疫的手段了。
对，就是说那个美国它这个卫生部门还是做的比较专业，就是这个传染病它有专门的流程，就是说即使说首先呢这个病患 就是从中国探亲回来，然后他感觉发烧去看了之后，第一天查，然后呢就送到那个一个中心 CDC 这中心去那个去
检测，
然后查出来他是那个 positive， 就是说阳性的，就马上就是用专车啊，隔离的专车到他家，把他接到医院里面去，把他隔离起来，然后呢就把这几天从国内来的到他去就医这段时间里面，所有的见过的人一个个报出来，然后呢政府全去联系他们，一个个都要观察，然后如果他们一旦是有任何的这样的症状也会隔离起来。所以呢他其实是还是比较一个首先呢他像州长也说的，就是行动迅速，就是说这个是信息公开，所以呢大家非常明白，而且呢他是有流程的，就是我对待这么一个人应该怎么做，而且呢就是基本上是我觉得基本上是可以控制的，在美国你即使说这个病没有无药可救或是什么东西的，还控制还是可以控制。那还有一个好的消息就是这个患者已经好了，基本上就已经病好了，已经放出来了，就回家了这样子，不对别人造成危害，所以这个事情呢也是好事情。雨辰，你害怕吗？这个
其实肯定还是有一些担心的，因为毕竟经历过2003年的非典，虽然当时年龄比较小，但是有一些场景一直到今天可能还是历历在目的。所以我觉得作为我个人来说吧，我可能还是会做好我个人的这个防御措施，这个比如说戴一些口罩啊这样的。
戴一些口罩你要戴几个？
我戴一个，就是大家每个人都戴一个，就是这样。然后但是我觉得没有必要太过恐慌，就是我觉得还是平常心对待吧，因为毕竟像就是刚才小袁讲的，现在病情已经控制住了，所以应该不会再有后续的就是这个更大的扩散。还是我觉得还是比较放心的。
对，而且像州长他是有社会地位的，这么大一个州长，然后美国第一例，你如果真的在这个事情在华盛顿州扩大，再扩大到其他州的话，他政治前途，政治生命就结束了，应该是对吧？所以我觉得他说这个话还是负责任的。
但是从另外一个角度来看，我们不说这个疫情，冬天本来就是一个比较容易感冒或者是得到流感的一个季节，所以我们每一个人平常就应该比较注意，比方说你跟有这个症状的，不管是任何的感冒症状或者是流感症状的人碰面的时候，你不要做很近距离的接触。我记得有一年我们在准备这个某一个节目的时候，因为大家演员嘛，就有握手的这个动作。那么其中有一位演员当时是感冒，结果在握完手之后没有几天，跟他握手的两位其他演员也感冒了。所以就是这个是非常容易传染的，所以即使是小感冒或者是普通的流感也是很容易传染的，所以大家都要注意，因为这个是能够飞沫传染。用飞沫传染的话，就是我咳嗽，你接触到我这个飞沫，你就会有可能被传染上。所以在美国大家不流行戴口罩，但是我知道我不管是去到台湾啊或者是看到日本啊，很多人都是平常就经常的戴口罩了，在尤其是这个秋冬的季节。我不知道国内是不是也很多人戴口罩。 国内的话我觉得可能女孩子戴的比较多。
对，我记得我回台湾，在台湾的街头看到很多很漂亮的口罩，他们已经都发展出了这新的口罩行业了，那个各种的颜色搭配服装啊，然后有的是非常可爱的卡通造型啊，就是真的是口罩非常多样。
对对对，尤其是像国内的女生，有的时候可能没有化妆，就会以口罩然后来代替自己的妆容，也成为了现在的一种时尚。就是所以大家如果真的要戴口罩的话，也没必要害羞。
对，所以也许我们应该在华盛顿州推广一下口罩，那么又有一个新的商机，华人可以有这个商机了。
那不握手抱拳作揖就可以是吧？就是
对，因为握手其实是相当危险的，我说危险就是说你有这个可能传染到这个跟你握手的人身上的任何的，不管是病菌还是病毒都有可能的。像小孩子去上daycare 啊，或者是幼儿园的时候，他们很容易彼此传染，一回到家来就传给大人。所以在家里有小孩的时候，洗手是特别重要。所以这些防范感冒的措施，在这个听到这样子的比较严重的暂时还没有药可以医的这种肺炎的时候，我们也是要特别注意这点。比方说咳嗽的时候就要用这个胳膊肘的部分捂住嘴啊，不要用你的手去捂，因为你用手捂完了以后，你手摸别的东西比较容易把你的这些个飞沫再摸到别的地方去。但是
那别人碰到你的胳膊肘呢，
里头那如果有人跟你那么亲近的话，你就跟他说哎，离我远一点了、也有这个可能。就是说要特别注意，像我有一个朋友，他是在医院当这个翻译的，所以他每一次到了医院，他就会很小心，他不用他的手指头去按电梯，他都用他的胳膊肘去按电梯。
对，医院的人确实来说是他们是比较注意这个卫生方面的。因为我印象里，就是他们每一次可能出自己的这个诊台都会洗一遍手，他们是非常注意，就是刚才雅秋老师说的这个接触传染。
对，而且我看到很多微信里面传的这些帖子里面有教我们怎么洗手，洗手有很多个步骤，不管是指尖啊、指缝啊，各个地方都要洗得特别干净。
对，我昨天那个在记者会上，州长他其实强调的就是这些，他没有说你大家不要，他说不要恐慌，他也没有说哎你们人多地方不要去或什么，他说你该干嘛干嘛。但是呢，因为现在感冒并发季就是那个频发的季节，然后你应该多洗手啊，然后注意卫生啊，如果你咳嗽打喷嚏的话，要挡住你鼻子啊或什么东西，就是就不要别传给别人，基本上这个意思。
对，
所以他
个人要负责自己有症状的时候不要传给别人、
对，
那么也要对自己保护，就是看到有症状的人的时候自己把自己也保护起来。
所以这个就是这个事情本身就不是本身的危害是不大的，但是呢能够提起大家的注意，就是特别是对感冒感冒季节应该怎么保护自己也保护别人，这个我觉得还是有意义的，就是大家能够留意一下。
对，现在也有人说在美国今年的流感很厉害，所以我也要提醒各位听众，如果没有打流感预防针的话赶紧去打，现在有很多地方是免费打。
对，比如说像学校的保险一般都会就是包括这个疫苗，流感疫苗。
对，我还看到像 Walgreens 这个 drugstore它是免费打，它广告就打写出来是免费的。
这样
可能也有别的地方也是免费的。
所以就是我们还是对这个武汉，虽然说来自武汉的那个就是冠状病毒这个病例来到西雅图，就是我们一方面还是希望我们听众朋友不要恐慌，另一方面呢也是就是建议大家能够注意流感的冬季，就是这个并发季节，不要感冒啊或者什么东西，就说那能够做好保养跟防护啊。
对，尤其是在快要到了春节了，大家都高高兴兴过个健健康康平平安安快乐乐的春节。
另一方面呢，我觉得还是政府呢还是要对美国的政府有信心，就是美国这边就是虽然说病例已经到美国了，然后呢大家都知道眼光都聚焦在西雅图，但是对西雅图人民对美国人民的生活确实是没有受到影响，就是大家已经知道了有这么件事情了，病人呢也康复了，然后呢政府呢会照这个传染病的这个标准流程做的，所以呢大家还是可以放心。
是，谢谢小袁台长给我们讲的这么多这么清楚，让我们对我们的政府特别的放心，知道他们会做正确的事情，会保护所有的居民。
好，那我们也谢谢亚秋老师，谢谢雨珍。雨珍还有什么要讲？
那就祝大家新年快乐，然后好好注意保护自己的健康。
那我们也希望我们武汉的那个同胞加油，我跟你们站在一起，尽早战胜病魔，
尽早结束这个封城的这一段期间。
好，谢谢大家。
热烈祝贺！
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 西雅图中文地带，
西雅图中文电台，
西雅图中文地带，
西雅图中文地带，
西雅图中文电台，
西雅图中文电台。
祝各位听众朋友新年快乐！
肌肉骨骼伤痛、车祸、工伤，请找康健脊椎治疗中心肖明医师。康健康健，祝您健康。电话206-621-7501，206-621-7501。
西雅图中文电台需要您的支持。如果您曾经听到过西雅图中文电台的节目，如果您曾经在西雅图中文电台网站或者微信平台上读到过我们的报道，如果您参加过中文电台举办的演出或者其他活动，请您支持我们。西雅图中文电台是由非营利组织西雅图华人广播协会支持的，大多数的主持人多年来义务为西雅图以及全球的华人提供精神食粮。请您向具有 501(c)(3) 免税资格的西雅图华人广播协会捐款，捐款的 PayPal 账号是scbaseattle@gmail.com， 捐款电话206-619-8698，206-619-8698。西雅图中文电台感谢您的支持。